As you're joking aside, you know, we are in the last days. Every day since Jesus ascended is one of those last days. We don't know when he's coming back, but we know that he is. And every day we should live as if he's coming. I remember when I was first saved years ago, there used to be a motto in my church that I attended back then, which was, look busy, Jesus is coming. We can all look busy, but actually it's what we do for our Lord that is important. And we can live every day as if every day is Pentecost, because the Holy Spirit is within us. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. That's a scary thought, isn't it? Holy Spirit living inside us. Everything that we see, he sees. Maybe that should change the way that we do things. Maybe it should change what we look at, what we listen to, knowing that the Spirit is looking out at everything that we see. What we should be doing is living every day fueled in the presence, the power, and the purpose of God. The title of my sermon this morning is Go and Live Every Day as If It Were Pentecost. What does that mean? It means that our lives should proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ. The truth that he is Lord, the truth that he is Saviour, the truth that there is no other way to heaven except by faith and trust in him. This morning we're going to dive into the word. I want us to discover how we can do this, how we can live every day. But unfortunately, my first point, I need to start with some history, some theology, and some context. Oh, suddenly people are glazed over. Don't worry. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. The history that's here is powerful. Acts chapter 2 verses 1 to 4 records the moment when God fulfilled the promise to send the Holy Spirit. Now, Pentecost was one of three major Jewish pilgrimage festivals. Known in Hebrew as Shavuot, it celebrated the wheat harvest, also the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. It occurred 50 days after Passover, and Pentecost in Greek means 50th. That Pentecost marked the birth of the church as we know it. God was not giving stone tablets out with his commandments anymore. He was writing his law on our human hearts. Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 33 reminds us, "But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep within them and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people." He was looking prophetically forward to the church. The word of God is incredible. Hundreds of years before something happens, God reveals what's going to happen through the prophets. And then it's fulfilled in exactly the way that God said it would be. The Holy Spirit, the Greek for spirit is pneuma. It can also mean, or it can also be used for the words breath and wind. And the Holy Spirit is the breath of God. And he brings into our lives life and power. Each of us is gifted in some way by God. Each of us has been given talents, abilities that we're meant to use to bring glory to God. And often, perhaps we need to sort of get out of the way and let God move in us and through us. I think there are times when we do stifle the Spirit. There are times when we choose not to do or not to follow what the Spirit is telling us to do. Sometimes we allow our humanity to be a barrier. Sometimes we allow our uncertainties, our lack of trust to get in the way. But friends, the very Spirit of God is living in each and every one of us. He is the one that empowers. He is the one that enables. He is the one who uses us to bring honour and glory to God. Allow him to move. We just sang about the Holy Spirit's presence being in the room with us. But the Holy Spirit isn't just in the room. He is in us. And where we go, we take the Holy Spirit with us. Every circumstance, every situation, every confrontation, every moment, the Spirit is there, watching, observing, bringing life into us anew. Romans 8 verse 11 says this, "The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, and just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you." Do you find this an awesome verse? The book of Romans is full of truth, and there are some gems that jump out at us when we read God's word. We've been raised from death to life. We have been forgiven. We've been ransomed because Jesus paid a price that we could never pay ourselves. He lived, died, rose again, and then ascended into heaven. But till he's coming back, he has sent the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to be with us. In the Greek, it's Parakletos, which could be translated as like a lawyer or a solicitor, someone who stands and defends you, someone who advocates for you. And it's not second or third best. The Spirit is part of the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, coexistent, co-eternal, co-equal. The very presence of God dwells within believers. What we need to remember is that Pentecost was not just a one-time event. It was a divine empowerment for all believers. And Pentecost is something that we can live every day because the same Spirit lives in us. We are a Pentecostal church. We are meant to believe in the gifts of the Spirit, the presence of the Spirit, the empowerment of the Spirit. And yet there are times when I think we forget what we're supposed to believe. We forget the truth. What we need to do is focus on the Word of God. Understand the truth that has been given to us and live according to this truth. John Piper said this, "The Spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe edition of Christianity. It is part and parcel of the Christian life." This is classic John Piper. He's concise, he's bold, and what he says is deeply rooted in biblical truth. Living filled with the Holy Spirit is not an optional extra. It's essential to us as believers. And every one of us has the Spirit living inside us. Piper in many ways cuts through any confusion we might have here, because there are many believers who kind of treat the Spirit-filled life as something that's for the super Christians, for the spiritual elite, for the pastors, the missionaries. Those are the ones who are Spirit-filled. But the Word of God is clear that all of us are Spirit-filled. And being filled with the Spirit, it's not optional, it's normal. It's not an upgrade, it is the engine of our Christian lives. Without the Spirit, without his presence, we are powerless. But with the Spirit, we have a purpose. And it's the Spirit that enables us to glorify Jesus Christ daily in what we say, in what we do, in how we act. And it should be the Spirit that actually causes us to think, before we do something, is that what Jesus would do? Do you remember when we used to wear wristbands that had WWJD on them? Before the service this morning, someone confessed something to me. And I'll be honest, I didn't say that much about what they said to me. And you know, I'm not a Catholic priest, it's not Catholic. You know, I didn't tell them to go and do Hail Marys or anything. But on reflection, what that person said to me, I'm not convinced that they asked themselves the question, what would Jesus do in this circumstance? What would Jesus do in this situation? And sometimes, actually perhaps all the time, we need to stop, pause and think before we do something and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us, is that what God would want us to do? Would this bring glory to his name? Would this bring a smile to Jesus's face? Would it make the Holy Spirit have joy if I do such and such? We're meant to glorify Christ in everything that we do. But we're human, aren't we? Assuming you're all human. We're broken, we're imperfect. Even the Apostle Paul said that he does that which he would not do. Without the Spirit's help, we continue to be broken. With the Spirit's help, we are renewed, we are restored, and we are empowered. We should be glorifying Christ every day. It should be a normal part of our Christian lives. John Piper's quote here, it really challenges us to live Spirit-filled, not someday, but now. Have you ever prayed and asked the Lord to fill you afresh and anew? Smith Wigglesworth was once asked, why do you keep praying to be filled with the Spirit? And he said, it's simple. I leak. I think the Spirit needs to be given free rein in our lives. Actually, I don't just think it, I know it. I know the Spirit should be allowed to move in us and through us. Why? Because God has given us a mission. He's given us a purpose. And the second point is that Pentecost empowers us for mission. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and the ends of the earth. If you've ever wondered what the blueprint for Christian mission and witness is, it's this. And Jesus doesn't say, you might receive power. He says, you will receive power. This is a promise from Jesus. It's not just a possibility. And the Greek word that's used here for power is dynamis, which implies explosive dynamic strength. Not from within us, not from our own strength, not from our own mind, but from the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. This isn't enthusiasm. This is a divine certainty. The Holy Spirit will come upon us. And the purpose is crystal clear. It's not for our glory. It's so that we can be witnesses to God's glory. Not just talk about the gospel, not just recite theology, not just beat people around the heads with our Bibles. This is about us being living testimonies of the presence of the risen Christ in our lives. This is the power to speak when your humanity tells you to be silent. This is divine power to share the truth of God's word. And it starts from where we are, our Jerusalem, and it moves outward. Fueled by the Spirit, empowered by grace, compelled by love, we go outside of our comfort zone. And we are not meant to be spectators. Every single one of us is called to participate. Many churches in the 21st century are filled with passengers. People who are there for the experience, people who are there for the ride. And an hour, hour and a half after the service begins, they're off. But what God calls us to do is take the message of truth outside of these four walls and into the world we inhabit for the other 6 days of the week. We're not just spectators. We are part of God's plan. We are ambassadors of Christ. We are meant to speak truth. We are meant to go and live as Pentecostals, because the same Spirit who empowered the early church lives in us today. Maybe my words aren't enough. Maybe we need to listen to the words of Jesus himself. Matthew chapter 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. Be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. These words from Jesus, some of his final words recorded before he ascended. They're not just a closing remark. They're not just a pleasant goodbye. This is a divine commissioning. This is a sacred summons. This is a command, not a suggestion. Jesus didn't say to his disciples, just as he doesn't say to us, if you feel like it. Or, once you're fully trained, then. He simply said, go. This one word is charged with urgency and authority. This is not a suggestion, this is a command. How many of you have broken this command? I'm not going to ask you to show your hands, but just think about it. Have you responded to this command in any way? And not years ago, not when you first became a believer and there was that fire in your heart to go and tell everyone about Jesus. In the last week, have you gone and told someone about Jesus? Again, Jesus' command here is clear. Our mission is clear. We are to make disciples, not just converts, not just encourage people to say a quick sinner's prayer and then move on. We're to proclaim the truth of the gospel. We're to baptize those who believe. We are to teach them to walk in obedience to Christ. Oh, obedience, that's a hard word, isn't it? What, you mean I need to do what God tells me to do? Yeah. Well, why should I do that? I mean, I've got these plans and I've got these desires and there's these things that I really, really want to do. And Jesus gave everything for us. God is greater than any of us. He knows more. He is far more intelligent. He knows the end from the beginning. And he commands us to do things for him, not because he wants to steal our joy, but because they are the right things to do. When we sin, sin, simply put, is doing that which is against God's will and decrees. Now, the world has different ideas about what sin is. And in fact, there are certain people in this world who say, you can do whatever you want because you're the master of your own destiny. Yet we as believers, we know that we are not masters of our own destiny. It's God who is responsible. It's God who is able. And we're meant to love him. And if we love him, we're meant to trust him enough to follow what he says. The gospel message, the gospel truth is faith in Christ, but also following the truth that he spoke. And there's a glorious promise as well in this verse. I am with you always. The one who has all of this authority, the one who has all this power, the one who spoke the universe into existence, walks by our side, dwells within us. He never leaves our side. He always knows what we're doing. As the prophet Jonah discovered many years ago, you can't run away and hide from God. Oh, but it's okay if I just do this because God's not going to notice. He knows everything. Remember, there's a verse in the Bible that says, God knows how many hairs you have on your head. Would anyone like to count the hairs on my daughter's head? We don't have time, do we? Yeah, God just knows it. He is always with us. Friends, this isn't a burden to bear. This is a joy to live. The living God resides within us. Have you ever watched those makeover programs where they go into they buy a property at auction that's completely dilapidated, and over a period of time they sort of reconstruct it and it gains value in the eyes of the world? When we become believers, the Holy Spirit moves in. His work in us will never be completed until we're called to glory. We are all a work in progress. But isn't it wonderful to know that God is working in us and through us on a daily basis? To change us, to transform us, to conform us to the image of his Son. To soften our hearts, to strengthen our minds, to do so many things in so many different ways. And he works in all of us, maybe at different speeds, maybe enabling different gifts. But all of us have the presence of the Spirit inside us. when we trust in Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Is what Jesus said true? Do you believe that the words of God are spoken in truth? Do you believe that God has a purpose, that Jesus had a purpose in every word that he spoke? So, are you applying this command to your lives? Are you doing what he has told you to do? Because you've said it's truth. You've said you believe him. So what's stopping you from actually doing what he said? To go and make disciples, to go and speak the truth of the gospel, to go into a broken world that needs to know that there is an answer, that there is a way to be saved. It's in God's power. It is God's mission, but we are meant to serve him. How many of you have got candles at home? There's a candle up here on the window ledge. What a perfect opportunity for an example. So this is a candle. It even smells. Elderflower and sage. Do you think this candle in this jar looks pretty? Yeah? It may look pretty, and it may smell quite nice, but it's pretty useless as a candle if it's got a stopper in the jar. Unless this candle is lit, it can't fulfill its purpose, to be a light in the darkness. Many Christians like this unlit candle. They're attractive, they might smell nice, may have the fragrance of Jesus about us. But unless we're lit, unless we're on fire, we're ineffective. We talk about the Holy Spirit fire coming upon us. We've sung about the fire falling upon us. Are we a light? Are we a light to the world? Has Pentecost, has the Holy Spirit lit the flame within you? To serve him, to proclaim the truth. Charles Stanley, he said this: apart from the Holy Spirit, we are hopelessly inadequate to do God's work. I know that Stanley's correct in these words. As believers, we're not called to serve God in our own strength, in our own talent, or in our own intellect. No amount of charisma or cleverness or creativity can accomplish what the Spirit of God can do in us and through us. Without the Holy Spirit, we might look attractive to the world. We might look active to the world. But without the Spirit, we are spiritually anemic. Like a lamp that's unplugged, we may have all the wiring, but because we're not plugged in, no power will flow. I think the Word of God is clear. I know the Word of God is clear. The Holy Spirit is not a luxury. He is a necessity in our lives. The source of our strength, the fuel of our faith, the fire behind our witness. Or as we sang earlier, the wind in our sails. We need the Spirit. And Stanley here is reminding us that the difference between mere religion and living relationship. He's reminding us of the difference between empty effort and empowered obedience. Friends, we shouldn't try and substitute programs for power. We shouldn't substitute activity for anointing. Yes, there are things that we need to do as a church. Yes, we need to have meetings and activities and events that go on. But we must never think, because we've just got a list of things that are going to happen on a piece of paper somewhere, that will enable God to move. Because unless we're willing to participate in sharing truth, unless we are willing to actually tell others who we trust, what's the difference if the doors are open? People will come in, and if they don't hear the truth, they will leave unchanged. Oh, but that's the work of the minister. That's the work of the evangelist. Oh, that's the work of Connor. You know? Connor goes into places the rest of us wouldn't dare to go and shares truth with those who think they know better. Oh, he's special. He's no different from any one of you. He's no different from me. In our workplaces, in our homes, in our streets, maybe even on the bus once the door's shut and you've got a captive audience, you could stand up and proclaim the truth until the bus driver throws you off. I actually heard someone the other day that they were giving testimony how they use public transport and they wait for the doors to shut before they then stand up and share the gospel. And they might do it in on a tube train or an intercity train. And they've done it on buses before. And literally the moment that the doors shut, they tell people about Jesus. I don't know if I'd want to be thrown from a moving vehicle, but I think it's worth the risk. I think it's worth the risk to share the truth. With the Spirit, we become vessels. We become conduits of God's truth, God's power to the world. There's someone at Ashendon who quite often prays, "Lord, make us a vessel." And the first thought that comes into my mind is, "Lord, please, I don't want to be the Titanic." I mean, that was a vessel, but it's for God's glory, yeah. Okay, third point. Pentecost transforms our inner life. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Grumpiness, moaning, complaint is not on this list. Being able to moan about the smallest thing is not a fruit of the Spirit. Getting angry because someone doesn't smile at you. Getting upset because somebody bought the last packet of lacto-free milk in the supermarket. Those are not gifts of the Spirit. But we're human. I mentioned that earlier. I'm assuming no one's transformed into something else while I wasn't looking. No, we are still human. We're human, and in our humanity, in our human nature, we do get angry and upset about things that we shouldn't get angry and upset about. Fruit, karpos in the original Greek, that implies a visible evidence of life. And you know, fruit is not something that's forced. Fruit in the natural world is something that's formed over a period of time. It, spiritually speaking, fruit is something that's formed by abiding in the Spirit. And living as a Pentecostal is not about how much noise we make. It's not about how often we raise our hands. Living as a Pentecostal is all about having a heart transformation. A transformation of our mind, the renewing of our spirit. The Spirit will make us more like Jesus. Caterpillar becomes a butterfly. And we are not transformed by effort. We're not transformed by our biology. We are transformed by the Spirit's inner work in our lives. Let me share some words with you from Max Lucado. These words cut straight to the heart of the gospel. God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus. There's a beautiful tension of grace and transformation here. As believers, we rest in the truth that God's love is unconditional. He doesn't wait for us to clean ourselves up. He embraces us. And his love is transformational. His love does bring change to our lives. And the same Spirit that drew us to Jesus is the one who reshapes us into the likeness of Jesus every day. In many ways, this quote reminds me that salvation is not the end of the story. It's the beginning of a Spirit-empowered journey. A journey of sanctification. A journey that makes us fit for heaven. God's goal isn't just to save us from hell. His goal is to conform us to the image of his Son. His goal is to make us ready to spend eternity with him. And the essence of living every day as Pentecost means yielding to the Spirit. It means becoming more like Jesus for the glory of the Father. Let's live every day as Pentecost. Let's live every day empowered by the Spirit. Let's live every day allowing him to make us more Christ-like. Fourth point, Pentecost creates community. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple every day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. The Spirit creates a spiritual unity, a unity that is supernatural. And the Spirit enables generosity. Friends, we're no longer strangers. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord. I would at this point suggest that you look at the person next to you and remind yourself that they are part of your spiritual family. You didn't get to choose who's in your family. God chose it. I'm not going to ask if you would choose the person next to you to be part of your family if you had a choice, because that could actually cause some family divisions. I tell you what I thank God. I thank God that we are not all the same. I thank God that we aren't different. I thank God that we do at times rub each other up the wrong way, because we are individuals. We are unique. We are different. But what makes a common bond between us is our love for Jesus. Tim Keller said this: "The church is not a museum for the pristine saints, but a hospital for broken sinners." I wholly agree with what Tim Keller says here. This is not a sanctuary for self-righteous people. This is a place where God's grace meets our needs. This is a place where the wounded come for healing, not for display. Over the years as a pastor, and even before I was a minister, I've met many people who think that before they can come to Jesus, they have to clean themselves up in some way. But Jesus calls us to come as we are. The Holy Spirit didn't descend at Pentecost on a group of perfect people. He came upon those who were willing, not those who were worthy. The church is the body of Christ. We are empowered by his Spirit. We are meant to embrace the broken. We are meant to point them to the only one who can truly restore them. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. We are not trophies of our own goodness. We're testimonies of God's grace. And that's what makes church a place of hope, or at least it should make the church a place of hope. If we are truly living Pentecost every day of our lives, if we are truly living in a way that shows that we are Spirit-filled, that we are grace-saturated, if we truly live as a Christ-exalting people, then the world will be changed. Lives will be changed because the truth will be seen in us and through us. Last point. Pentecost proclaims the gospel. Acts chapter 2, verses 36 to 39. "So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah." Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God." Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, lived a sinless life, had a sacrificial death on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose again on the third day. His resurrection is our hope. His ascension is our empowerment. His Spirit is our life. What must we do? The call to action is simple. Even those of us who have been believers for years, we need to examine ourselves and see if we need to repent from anything that's in our life today that shouldn't be there. Sinful thoughts, sinful habits, wrong desires. We need to turn away from those things. We need to believe. We need to trust in Jesus as Lord and Saviour. We need to receive from him the Holy Spirit. R.T. Kendall said this: "The greatest proof of the baptism in the Spirit is not speaking in tongues, but living a life that glorifies Jesus." Kendall's words, they're convicting. They're also clarifying. I'm sure many of us are passionate about the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. All of us value the spiritual gifts that God gives to us. But Kendall reminds us that fruit is greater than fireworks. Yeah. A life that magnifies Christ is a life that demonstrates humility, demonstrates holiness. A person who magnifies Christ talks about him to other people. Speaking in tongues may be a sign, but Christ-likeness is the substance of our faith, the substance of our belief. The Spirit was not given to inflate egos. The Spirit was given to exalt Jesus. And when the Spirit fills you, when the Holy Spirit moves in your life, it's not about drawing attention to you. It's all about pointing people to Jesus as Lord. Pray for gifts, spiritual gifts, but pray from the right heart, a heart that desires God to be glorified. So in conclusion, go and live every day as Pentecost. You were not saved to be silent. You were not redeemed to be religious. You were filled with the Spirit to be fruitful. And you have been empowered and commanded to proclaim. So let the entire world know and let your life declare that Jesus is Lord. Friends, may you rise each morning not with fear, but in holy fire. May your heart burn with purpose. May your lips speak the truth of the gospel. And may your life bear witness to who you trust, to who you love. And may you truly bear fruit for God's kingdom. Go and live every day as Pentecost.